Welcome to the Hella Chingona podcast, where chingonas thrive. The idea is to create an ongoing conversation that uplifts through testimonio, our personal storytelling, in a way that brings folks together across space and time, anchored in sincerity, power, and community. I am your host, Rosana Alvarez, and I am super jazzed to kick it with y'all in beautiful conversation, sometimes with a guest, and other times, solita, solita, pero igual de cabroncita. I'm here on this beautiful Wednesday, solita, solita, coming at you in an episode that you probably won't get until at least thinking about your life Thursday. So someone asked me recently if I could address imposter syndrome. And I remember bringing this up briefly in one of the first episodes where I talked to myself with y'all as witness. And I remember it because every time I would say imposter syndrome on here, it would play back in the weirdest intonation. And I'd be like, Lord, people are going to think I don't know how to pronounce that. But for some reason, the mic was capturing my pronunciation super wonky. So I'll be curious to hear the playback in this one here. But I started thinking, right, that it's something that we all grapple with all of the time. And then I thought about it some more. And then I thought about it for so long that I started, you know, wading in the waters of imposter syndrome myself. And I went on about my week and I went on about my day. And then I started thinking, it's Wednesday and I haven't recorded a segment because I've been so freaking busy. And I keep saying I'm gonna, you know, emphasize progress over perfection and go ahead and do the thing. And then I started thinking about how during this time, it's really challenging to even find a space where I could have a conversation with myself. Because we're all working from home, you know, those of us who can and are a little bit privileged in that way to be able to do that. And so I feel a little terrible complaining about silly stuff like, there is nowhere quiet enough for me to do this in a way that is super clean and super polished and where you don't get a dog in the background or a train blaring by at some odd time in the day, or there is no predictable time where I know it's going to be quiet and undisturbed long enough for me to have the conversations I feel I need to have in a way where people aren't going to be distracted by that background noise. And then I realized that in itself is part of embracing the authenticity of where you are as you navigate all the things that come up with imposter syndrome. Like, I could easily say, screw it, I'm not going to record this segment this week because I can't find a space quiet enough, and not even the closet is quiet enough to pull that off sometimes. And then I thought to myself, you know what? There is no reason why I should be recording a podcast segment in a closet for the sake of production value when my main interest is in having these conversations to help us all sustain ourselves wherever it is that we're at. And so all that to say, where I am right now is home, and that I'm very comfortable being at home with myself, whatever that context is. And right now that context is one where sometimes there are children screeching in the background. Sometimes there are dogs barking at the neighbors. Sometimes, especially this time of year, there are illegal fireworks going off all over the darn place, and that's all out of my control. And so that got me back to thinking about the conversation that centers imposter syndrome. And I kept thinking, well, I don't have enough tips and strategies to offer someone to say, this is how you deal with that. And then I caught myself in that little doubt and I was like, well, you know what? How I navigate my own sense of, well, who the heck am I? And do I have that expertise? And do I have what it takes? And in some ways, imposter syndrome is really self-doubt, right? Kind of on its highest volume. And so I started thinking, well, how do I navigate that myself in a way that keeps me sustained? Do I jump to self-help books? Do I jump to articles? Do I jump to other podcasts? And in fact, I don't, right? I think what I do is I rely on my comadres. I rely on my friends. I rely on my circle. And I rely on those things that give me life. And so for me, what I find very sustaining is tapping into my own art. And for me, oftentimes, that is my writing. And when I spend time to reflect on where I'm at and where I've been, it really does help ground me. So how do you deal with imposter syndrome? You rely on the things, practices, and people that sustain you and that remind you that you are indeed hella chingona out in the world, even on your worst days, even in your most chaotic settings. And so it's one of those things, right? Easier said than done. I always tell folks, there's a reason why there are so many books on the self-help shelves, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to all things or anything, and there isn't a five-step how-to guide that is going to work the same for everybody. And so to Miss Claudia Fabian, who asked, how do you navigate imposter syndrome and got me down this rabbit hole, I say to you, you find your supports. And you create this sustainable practice for yourself of things that bring you joy and affirmation. And that looks different for everybody. And that sometimes, even for you, yourself, it might look different during one period in your life, from one period in your life to another. And so some things that have worked for me, aside from having folks that I know I can connect to remind me, you know, like straight up, I have to have people sometimes remind me when I start wigging out, you're a bad bitch. And that can mean a multitude of things, right? Because sometimes what it means to be a bad bitch means that you're a hella sensitive bitch. And sometimes it means that you're like this very raw, outspoken bitch. And sometimes it means that you don't want to be a bitch at all. And so that's embracing how multifaceted you are and having kind of these little recuerdos in your life of what is it that gives you that motivation, and that sometimes you got to go in anyway feeling like an imposter. And if we acknowledge where those feelings come from, I think it helps us also kind of stand firm and stay solid in how fierce you are. Because doubt gets thrown at us every which way, right? From our bodies, to how we carry our bodies, to how we cover up our bodies or how we choose not to, to what kind of, you know, brains are valued in what spaces, and which voices and how those voices enunciate also are told, you know, who we elevate and who we marginalize in certain spaces. And so I think at the end of the day, for me, it really is this multifaceted practice that I try to tap into to remind me of my whys, in addition to the bad bitch that I feel like I can be most days. And my whys, it's always like, well, sometimes you're still going to feel like an imposter, But if your why is compelling enough to inspire yourself in that moment to take that risk, that might be enough to pull you through, right? So I'd be curious to hear from folks. What is it that you do, whether it be daily, whether it be out of habit that you've built into your life, whether it's a weekly check-in with a comadre, what things do you do to, I wouldn't say overcome, because I don't know that we overcome it, but to navigate that little nagging sense of imposter syndrome that always kind of has us questioning whether we're qualified enough or good enough or ready enough or polished enough or well produced enough, or if we've got enough stuff on our resumes and CVs, or if we have enough degrees or the right degrees or the right body or the right size or the right time to do and be. I'm curious to hear from folks. Because I'd love to see kind of what that patchwork quilt of beauty looks like that has us kind of put ourselves out there anyway. And if you think about it, we're kind of set up with that doubt really early on, right? We do this funky thing with stars and rewards for certain behaviors that, in the bigger scheme of things as adults, can be very oppressive. And so you get rewarded for being that quiet kid in class and for going with the flow. And then when you grow up, sometimes that doesn't serve you well. So we have to give ourselves credit for showing up, even when we feel like imposters. And that in itself is powerful, right? There's this. Well, I don't want to dig into like one piece of writing because then it starts to feel like an all classroom lecture. But like for me, my go-tos aren't self-help books. It's really like what types of testimonios, personal stories, kind of give me those glimmers of hope or like a reflection of myself in different ways. So, like, if you're reading somebody's poem or somebody's essay or somebody's social media post and you're like, shit, I didn't know other people felt like that too. And that's right. Like, we've got this. There's power in that. And I think that anybody that's trying to sell you on definitive guides of how to, as the one size, fits all, end all, be all to things, I'm always leery of that because we're each so. As much as we can relate to each other, we're very different in our context and experiences. And, I always ask people if they have siblings and what their birth order is, because for me, that's so, such a critical part of how I was shaped. And there are other pieces of clues and bits of information in people's context that, like, I'm just not a fan of. These one size fits all approaches to doing and being. And so, anytime someone asks me, how do I overcome imposter syndrome? I always feel like I should be all, it depends. Tell me more, right? I want to know more about what it is that you're looking for. Because I also know I don't have the answer to everything. Because a lot of times it's the questions I come back to that help me find answers for myself. And I also have to acknowledge that next week I might be in a different headspace with myself. I might be in a different emotional space with myself. I mean, might be less annoyed with all the loud booms of the fireworks. And so my thought process might be different. But the consistent parts of my process are grounding yourself in community that sustains you, having a practice that keeps you as sane as you can be for the time that you're in, paying attention to yourself, being open and flexible and adaptable to any curveballs that come your way or any background noise in the mix. And always being clear on your why. Like, I love asking people to come up with their 6-word story. And if you can sit with yourself for 5 minutes and think of just 6 words that speak to you, and they don't even have to be 6 coherent words, but they kind of become your mission statement. And so I have a few different ones that come up for me, even just with that exercise. But the one I run my little shop hustle on is embracing personal power through creative inspiration. And those are 6 words. And if I look at everything I do, whether it be teaching or whether it be even this podcast, those are 6 compelling words for me that even in spaces where I start wigging myself out because I start feeling that imposter syndrome of not being qualified enough, then I go back to those 6 words. And what is it that I'm trying to do in any given space at any given time? But I think it's also probably why I ask folks who come on here as guests, what legacy do you hope to leave behind? Because really, I'm asking by way of that question, what's your 6-word why in elaborated form? So you can use way more than 6 words, right? Like, what is it that you hope to leave behind? Like, what is it that drives you? Because if you have some kind of vision for impact in mind, even if it's a humble, simple one, then you're clear on your why. And that why will help you navigate all the funk that comes up in your own journey and your own little dance with imposter syndrome. Because there will always be people and forces and things that are going to try to convince you that you don't belong, that you are not capable enough, not strong enough, not smart enough. When indeed you are, and so much more. And so have things and people that remind you of that, and have a focus as to even if you feel like you're not adequately prepared or strong enough in that moment, that there is a force attached to your why that's going to help pull you through anyway. And I've rumbled a little bit of reflection here. And the hope is that sometimes, even when that imposter syndrome rears its little spiky face, that there's enough on the other side of that to make you go for it anyway, and take up space anyway, and be all up in it anyway. Not because you feel like it's your responsibility, as there's all kinds of stuff to unpack by way of sometimes toxic expectations toward that end, but really thinking about and anchoring yourself in the reasons for still taking a risk and still showing up. And if you think about all the times that we celebrate mediocrity and reward it, I mean, turn on an award show on television on any given thing from any academy, and we celebrate mediocrity so much. So sometimes it's more important to show up when you feel mediocre as hell, because the reality is, 10 times out of 10, you're way more than mediocre. And that 10 times out of 10, it's okay to show up when you are mediocre. And that 10 times out of 10, when you are a woman of color, it's a sure bet that you're grappling with a context that is set up to diminish your value. And not in fact, but in practice and in very toxic practice. that there is a reason why we are, as Latinas, if you will, the lowest kind of paid group when you look at the statistics on equal pay. And it's not because our work is less than in any sense. It's because there is a very complicated history anchored in a whole lot of racist thinking about who we're supposed to be in the world. That try as we might, bad bitch as we might be, society hasn't caught up to us in that way. And so, anchor yourself in community. Find your circle if you haven't already. Clarify for yourself as best as you can with where you're at and what you've got. How it is that you're already so much more than qualified. And anchor all of that in your reasons for taking a risk anyway, even when you're not feeling your full self at your best self. Si quieres, right? Because at the end of the day, all of this is a choice. And these are kind of like, tools for the toolkit of giving yourself life to sustain yourself through those times where you're not feeling yourself, but you're feeling it. And when I say you're feeling it, I mean the struggle of absorbing all of the messaging that we get about how we're not enough. And that a lot of us, myself included, are kind of like perpetually compelled to show up in our most excellent selves, right? And our fiercest selves. And if we're not there, then the alternative is to not show up at all. And I think not showing up is powerful, right? When it feels like it's truly a choice. And by showing up, I mean being present or going for those things that, whether it's a job or some kind of application process or showing up at work in a job you've been in for years and still struggling and grappling with this imposter syndrome. So hopefully, you found some tidbits in my own rumblings here to help you find what you need to sustain yourself. And if that means you come back here, every week and listen to a little something from the Hella Chingona podcast, then hey, so be it. But my hope for you is that if that sustains you, great, but that it's not something that you're dependent on in that kind of weird setup for codependence. And I think that might be in part why I'm not about those definitive guides of how-tos, because I feel like they always kind of set us up to always be in constant reliance of some external thing. And I think if I'm listening to myself here, what I'm really seeing in all of this is the best way to figure out how to cope with imposter syndrome and how to navigate imposter syndrome and how to slay imposter syndrome is to really spend time reflecting on who you are, what you're about, and where you come from. Because where you come from is a whole lot of good, even if it comes with a whole lot of baggage. And so, normally I leave y'all with a quote, and this time I'm a quote myself. I'm gonna leave you with a little snippet of a poem, not just because I like, speaking in rhymes, but because I think there's something to be said in how we exist like poetry, as poetry, just by taking up space in the world. And so the poem goes, "Imagine a world where everyone owned the poetry that flows in their veins.
Every word spoken would leave us less broken, tending with heart to our pains. We might swallow less truths, be less harsh with our youths, more merciful in our refrains. Imagine a world where everyone owned that poetry that flows in their veins. So go out there or stay inside. It's on you and up to you at all times. But be that poetry and do those things that you find compelling. Even if sometimes that means doing nothing, because we have a right to that too. And imposter syndrome tells us otherwise. But again, you got this.
Thanks for listening to the Hella Chingona podcast. Remember to show us some love by subscribing and following the podcast at hellachingona.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Hella Chingona Podcast. That's HellaChingona Podcast. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so drop us a comment or simply share the podcast with a friend.